In the last two victories in its record 74-game winning streak, the University of Connecticut women's basketball team crushed its first two opponents in the NCAA basketball tournament and seems set to roll to a second consecutive undefeated season. As a UConn alum, former player of the year there, and point guard on the Huskies' first national championship team, Jen Rosati is entitled to a little pride. As head coach for 11 years now of the women's basketball team at the University of Hartford, she's also allowed a little envy. What makes Connecticut so good? Why is it so hard to compete? Is such dominance good for the women's game? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Jen Rosati joins us now from the campus of the University of Hartford. Her Hawks took a tough loss to LSU in the first round of the tournament this year. And, Coach, it's good of you to be with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And I wonder, do you continue? I know your team was knocked out. Do you continue to look at the tournament?
Oh, of course. I'm a student of the game still, and I like to watch and learn, and I like to be a part of the excitement. I mean, you always want to be in it when you're a coach or you're a player, but it's just as fun to watch and see the excitement on people's faces when they win, and of course for me to follow my former team.
And are you as awestruck by their accomplishments as many around the country are?
I don't know if awestruck is the right word. I mean, I'm proud of them, and it doesn't surprise me. Obviously, having played there and knowing the attention to detail that they pay and how hard they push their players to work and the standard of excellence, it's not surprising to me that they've been able to dominate the way that they have. It's been really fun to watch.
Why is it that in an atmosphere where you have many more women's college basketball programs who are competitive and work hard at recruiting and work hard at improving the game and paying attention to those kind of details, that one team can dominate so thoroughly?
It helps when you have the two best players in the country, certainly. But, I think that Gino Auriemma and his staff do a really good job of preparation, and I think that, the teams that face them one time in a year or one time every couple of years, they're really hard to beat because they're well-coached and they always have a good game plan, and they're usually working with, four or five of the best players in the country. So, I think that there's teams in the Big East that over time, Rutgers is an example of a team that occasionally gave them problems when there's a little bit more familiarity and maybe not so much awe by the players when they step on the floor with them. But, I just think that their reputation is so grand, and they play with such a high level of intensity and work ethic that when you face them one time a year, they're just really hard to beat on that given night.
You not only went to the University of Connecticut, you grew up in the state of Connecticut.
Yes.
You now coach in the capital of the state of Connecticut. I wonder, is it tough to recruit against the University of Connecticut?
Well, we don't really recruit against Connecticut. I think that, programs, at that level, Connecticut and Duke and Tennessee and Stanford, they're usually working with a pretty small pool of players that are narrowed and focused in on playing at the very, very top level. So we're kind of in the group of the next maybe 40 or 50 programs in the country that are fighting for the next group of players. So we haven't had any recruiting battles against them. They're usually a couple of years ahead of us in their recruiting.
So they're looking at players who they start to detect when they're freshmen,
yeah,
Sophomores in high school.
Yeah, I mean, right now I know they at least have one verbal commitment from a junior in high school. We're just starting the process with juniors, so they've kind of already focused in on the juniors, the sophomores, and even occasionally the freshmen, because usually kids at that level are distinguish themselves at a very early age. And when they're that good, UConn and Tennessee and all those big-name programs, they know about them when they're freshmen in high school. So we kind of, come in a few years later after other kids have developed and try to, find those diamonds in the rough. So it's a little bit different process for us.
Do you schedule the University of Connecticut?
Of course, yes. We've been on their schedule for 5 years.
And what's that like?
It's different. I mean, it's I think it's a great experience for our kids. We play the game in downtown Hartford at the XL Center, and there's usually about 10,000 to 15,000 people there. So it's a nice atmosphere, and honestly, not everybody's rooting against us, so that's pretty good. But it's tough. I mean, it's a good chance for me to show our kids what it takes to play at that level. And when we have success, whether it's for a five-minute stretch or for a half, we know we're doing it against the best in the country. And we're always trying to measure ourselves against the best competition because we want to try to play at that level. So I think it's a good experience. It's a win-win situation for us.
Except on the scoreboard.
Yeah.
What's your relationship like with Coach Auriemma?
It's still great. He remains pretty close with most of his former players, and we can have the relationship that we want with them. So, he follows my season as I do his, and is always one of the first to congratulate me on anything that we do as a program that's new. Like this year when we got into the top 25 for the first time, or we made the NCAA tournament as an at-large team. So, we're still, on really good terms. I haven't learned more from anyone else in my career than from him. So he's still a mentor to me and still somebody who I've formed my coaching philosophy around what he teaches and what he taught me when I was at college.
He seemed to be somewhat amused by the fact that you got two technical fouls and were thrown out of your last game.
Yeah, he doesn't he doesn't miss chances to poke fun either. So that's his personality. And of course, I wasn't surprised that he had something wise to say.
As you look at the women's game, you say you made the top 25, you made the tournament this year as an at-large. Those are great accomplishments. But do you expect that kind of balance to return where Stanford and Tennessee and, of course, the great coach there, Pat Summitt, are going to be competitive again?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, women's basketball, those are the programs that, these high school stars want to be a part of. They want to play for great programs and great coaches, places that they can go to the Final Four and win national championships and play in the WNBA. So if you're a rising star in middle school and high school, then those are the schools you're going to hear about. And mm-hmm. Pat Summitt and Tara Vanderveer and Sherry Cole out at Oklahoma, Muffet McGraw at Notre Dame. I mean, these are coaches who a lot of these high school kids already know and they want to play for. So.
But just a couple of years ago, as you mentioned, Rutgers had a great team and a couple of great runs. The University of Maryland won a championship a few years ago. It seemed as if the days when the Delta States and even the Montclair States and the Connecticuts and the Tennessees would dominate the game where it was going to be a much more open thing like the men's game.
Yeah, I think that there are definitely years where there's some parity. Rutgers is able to attract some of the great talents in the country, University of Maryland, and a lot of that has to do with the leagues that they play in and the facilities that they have. You know, when you have a place like Maryland that plays in the Comcast Center and has a very well-known men's program, then you're going to usually tend to have, women very aware of that program and what they've accomplished. So I do think that, there has been parity. I think that UConn and Tennessee have probably separated themselves in the amount of national championships that they've won. But in the years that they're not winning championships, you'll see the Michigan State get to a Final Four, the Baylor won a national championship mm-hmm. 1 year. So there are some other upstart programs that are starting to attract some of the best recruits in the country.
And would that be, as much as you take pride in your alma mater's accomplishments, would that be better for the game?
I think you can look at it both two ways. I mean, I don't think that you can get as much attention to women's basketball as UConn is what they're doing for the sport right now, the record that they're setting and the perfection that they're playing at. I think you have everybody talking about them, including last night during an NIT game. I heard the commentators talking about the UConn women during a men's game. So mm-hmm. what they're doing, I think, is bringing a lot of positive attention to the sport. So it can't be bad when you have men's commentators talking about women's basketball. However, I do think if you look at an average fan, an average sports fan, and you turn on the NCAA tournament, you want competitive games. And there's been a lot of them. Not when you have UConn on the other side of the court, but as far as, a lot of the first round games and second round games have been pretty competitive so far. So I do think the average fan wants to see a little more parity and a little more competitiveness, but I think what UConn has done for the attention of women's basketball in general has been great.
If you'd like to talk with Jen Rosati about women's basketball and the University of Connecticut Huskies, 800-989-8255, email us talk@npr.org. And you were talking about perfection. The first half of the game the other night, I think they went into the locker room 43 points ahead and with a shooting percentage of like 78%.
Yeah, it was. I think that their comments after the game was that was about as good as they could play. They're just on a roll right now. They're at a point where they're playing with a lot of confidence, and this is their time of year. It's amazing to me that, you know, a team can keep their focus for a whole season when all, not all they really care about, but what they're really playing for is a national championship. And it's a long time to wait for these last six games. And then those last six games finally get there, and you just can't wait to get on the court. And I think that you've seen that anxiety, that anticipation, and that excitement in the UConn team if you've watched them play in their first two round games.
And watching them is just, I can say it. I didn't go to the University of Connecticut. They are awesome. Nevertheless, the television ratings for the tournament aren't great.
They aren't great, is that what you said?
Are not, yes.
Yeah, well, I don't know what the answer to that is. I do think that it would be nice if, there was a bigger commitment to women's basketball in every school like there is at Connecticut or at Hartford or at some of these other programs that are really putting their women's program to the forefront. But, unfortunately, I can't say that there is. And, you know, we need to continue to really work hard to find ways to market our product. We're not a men's basketball. We're different, but we're special in our own way. And, you know, hopefully that, you know, there's a lot of people out there working hard to continue to market women's basketball, to showcase all these great talents, to showcase kids like Maya Moore, who is an outstanding student athlete, and that's going to attract fans. And that needs to happen, you know, from the college level all the way up through the WNBA.
We're talking with Jen Rosati, the unforgettable point guard on Connecticut's first national championship team back in 1995. For the last 11 years, coach of the Hartford Hawks. She joins us on the line from the campus there by phone. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get Dennis on the line. Dennis with us from Bend, Oregon.
Hi,
Dennis. You're on the air. Go ahead.
I just want to make comment that for quite some number of years, Coach John Wooden has been saying the women's game is actually a better brand of basketball than the men's, and I encourage anybody who has the opportunity to go to a women's college game to take it in. Much better team game, and the individual skills are have to be better because all that jumping ability isn't there.
Well, there is that jumping ability. They just don't jump as high. Jen Rosati, the fundamentals, though, a lot of people say that women are more interesting to watch because of the difference in athleticism.
Yeah. Well, I think if you're really a true fan of the game and you watch men's basketball 20, 25 years ago, you would see more similarities in the women's game now to that product because there's more. You have to rely more on passing and teamwork and setting a good screen and having the skill to finish a shot around the basket, whereas on the men's side, if you're 6'10", you don't really need to have a lot of skill to be able to dunk the basketball. So I think that's, you know, what John Wooden is saying is that if you're looking at basketball played in the purest, you know, you can't find a better example of that than if you were to turn on a UConn women's game. And unfortunately, not all women's basketball is up to that level, and I think it needs to be. I think we need to challenge ourselves to be better and to be more fundamental and be more fun to watch because we play at a higher level. And it's not, again, it's got to be a commitment to the women's programs around the country to continue to hire good coaches and have coaches find good players and do a good job of developing them. So it is fun to watch.
Dennis, thanks for the call. Let's go next to Robert. Robert's with us from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. But actually, my call, I think you just kind of answered it, which was I was wondering what seems to be lost going from women's college basketball to the WNBA in terms of interest. Some of my male friends say simply, oh, they just can't dunk the ball, and it's no fun to watch if that's not going on.
Well, one or two can, but Jen Rosati, you also played, what, 6 years in the WNBA?
Yeah, I played five summers in the WNBA, and I do think that playing in the summertime definitely has an effect on the viewership for WNBA because, to be honest with you, I'll catch a lot more college games over the winter than I will WNBA games in the summer. A lot of people are just doing a lot of different things and are outside and are just not as interested in watching TV in the summertime. But I think that the product is good. I just think that maybe colleges do a little bit better job of marketing and, you know, we have a great package on ESPN for women's basketball at the college level, and I just don't think it's as good in the WNBA. So there just doesn't seem to be as much marketing as there should be because the women in the WNBA are phenomenal. I mean, if you turn on and watch a Candace Parker who can dunk in the flow of a game, or you watch a Diana Taurasi, or, you know, you watch some of these young kids that have come into the game, I mean, they're as good as a lot of men, maybe not NBA players, but I think the stigma is a lot of men think that they're better than WNBA players, and if you actually watch a game, you would know that that's not true.
Robert, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Let's see, we have time for one more, and this is Alicia. Alicia calling us from Tempe.
Yes, my name's Alicia. Actually, I grew up in New Fairfield, Connecticut, which was the same town I believe Jen was from.
Yep.
And I remember as a kid, I was in middle school going to swim practice, and the gym, the high school gym, would just be packed with people watching you play. And I always thought, what's going on in there? And as I got older, I realized who it was. I thought, well, wow. And I ended up going to UConn myself. My brother and I graduated from there. And just the cutthroat fans that are for basketball there, just nowhere I've seen anywhere else in the country. And especially the surrounding communities really get into women's basketball. I mean, I moved out here to Arizona and here with my family, and my dad still DVRs the UConn women games because he has to watch them. So I just think I love how a university sports team has an impact on surrounding communities, people who maybe never even went to UConn.
Yeah.
Really can bring not only just the tiny town of stores together, but the whole state of Connecticut and more than that, too.
Well, I definitely think that the size of the state helps. You know, it kind of allows everybody from the state to travel and see the UConn women play within a hour and a half. And I think that the absence of professional sports in Connecticut allows people to really embrace the college teams. So it's a great state to play women's basketball in. Even at the University of Hartford, we have a great following compared to a lot of mid-major programs around the country.
Well,
we draw a lot more than a lot of Big East schools draw. So, again, it helps when you win, but I think that the fans here in Connecticut are very educated and very passionate about their women, and they will go anywhere to follow them and watch them play.
Alicia, thanks very much for the call. And Jen Rosati, thanks very much for your time, and good luck to the Hawks.
All right, thank you.
Jen Rosati, head coach for women's basketball at the University of Hartford.